and welcome back to Badass Bitches Tarot for the week of February 17th through February 24th. I'm your host, Cardzi B. As many of you may already know, I'm a tarot reader and fashion industry survivor based in New York City. I began learning tarot when I was still in elementary school and eventually turned that hobby into a tarot practice and the creation of my own deck, Badass Bitches Tarot. So we're over halfway through February, the month of Six of Pentacles, the balance card, which shows us the importance of striking a balance between giving and receiving of energy and resources, and this month's other card, the Six of Swords. Now, this card may have helped us realize a couple of things. Number one, it's okay to reach out for help to get through a challenging situation. And Six of Swords may have also urged us towards a journey this month that allows us to drop off some much-needed baggage. For more detailed info on the cards of the month, you can go back to episode 29 of this podcast with the February overview. Now for the card of the week. Four of Swords. All right, so in the OG Smith Rider-Waite deck, this card shows a knight laying down on a marble podium in a church with one sword beneath him and three swords mounted up on the wall above him. Kind of looks like he's dead to me in the original deck. I've always thought that. But this card really isn't about that. It's about taking a rest before moving on to the next phase. So it's really about going within, focusing on what you really need for yourself, and kind of recuperating and resetting. In Badass Bitches Tarot, Four of Swords is Pema Chodron, author, Buddhist teacher, and monk. I think she's a nun, too. I think she's been ordained to, like, everything. But anyway, she's, like, the queen of meditation. She's really about kind of, you know, going within, quieting your mind, connecting to cosmic consciousness, source, whatever you want to call it. And I really have always considered the Four of Swords to be the meditation card. Astrologically, Four of Swords is ruled by Jupiter and Libra. And Jupiter is kind of that, like, giver of gifts and opportunity, and Libra is about harmonious balance. So when Jupiter comes into the sign or constellation of Libra, it really represents a period of rest from trouble. Like you can kind of just be like, whew, okay, I've got a minute to gather myself and reset. And that's Four of Swords energy. This is the perfect energy going into the full moon in Virgo that's coming this Tuesday, February 19th. This new moon is the end of a cycle from all the things that we were kind of manifesting from that big picture emotional new moon in Aquarius on February 4th. And the full moon in Virgo is really a time to kind of wrap up any of those loose ends and clear our mind to help the projects and opportunities we're working on come to fruition. So get really clear on how it is we want to move forward, which is, you know, a combination of Virgo energy and that Four of Swords really works well with that. So this is, I love when the cards of the week, which they often do, I love when they happen to line up with kind of what's going on in the lunar cycle and astrologically. It's a good time to really use that Four of Swords energy now to kind of meditate on how we want to move forward through this full moon and just through the rest of the month and, you know, moving into the end of the winter into the spring. So I got a lot of positive feedback from listeners on January's Ask Cardzi B. So I am going to make this a segment as long as you guys still like it. And so that segment really was about you guys asking questions, whether that was through Instagram Live, messages on my website, people asking me in person at events. And I don't always, even though I always answer you guys one-on-one, I'll always respond back via messenger or email or, you know, if you guys ask me at an event, but I don't always get to share that information with other than like one-on-one feedback. So I took some of the questions that I thought might apply to more of you out there that I was getting over the past couple of weeks. And so I think I grabbed like five or six questions that I thought might a lot of you might relate to. The first one came from Jessica in Vancouver. Jessica writes, "Hey Cardzi, I recently watched the documentary Tarology about Enrique Enriquez's approach to tarot. Have you seen this and what are your thoughts on his teaching?" Hey, so yes, I did. I've watched almost every documentary I can get my eyeballs on, and I'm like a big documentary nerd as well, but especially when it's tarot or mystical related. But so for those of you who haven't seen Tarology, Enrique is a really controversial thinker in the world of tarot because he doesn't believe in spirits, he doesn't believe in the supernatural, or really anything mystical. He thinks that it's bullshit that there are Kabbalistic ties to tarot, numerological influences, or or any, you know, any of the Golden Dawn's astrological stuff, he pretty much writes off. His approach is purely visual and links most closely to Carl Jung's theory behind archetypes. So there's, I mean, here's the thing. Here's my thoughts on Enrique and his documentary. Number one, I love anyone who's doing things differently and stepping outside of the box. So yay, Enrique. Like, get in there and mix it up. I think that one viewpoint is very limited. So I think there's a lot of validity to the archetypes and the visual aspects of the cards for sure. But that's obviously impactful, and it's working for him and his students. So awesome. But I'm a big nerd and I like to learn and study all aspects of a subject. Basically, learning all the rules so you can choose which ones resonate with you and then break the ones that don't. That's kind of how I roll. And you know, I was always top of my class when I was younger, and as I got older, this allowed me to see where I could take shortcuts and disregard things that weren't necessary. But I did learn, you know, kind of really all the aspects along the way. In college, studying fashion design, my best friend and I used to call this mofoing, and we said that this stood for making our fashions outstanding, because we were fashion design majors, M-O-F-O, standing for making our fashions outstanding. And by learning all the rules, we would then kind of know how we could cut corners and take the most effective and efficient route. In tarot, I, like most people, like Enrique, learned the cards first visually through the archetypes, which is his whole practice. But I also really encourage new readers to look into other facets of tarot. Learning about the astrological rulings and Kabbalistic influences just give more layers for you to work with and read with. I find that depending on the client and the question at hand, different aspects will jump out at you at different times. Like, okay, sometimes when I'm doing a reading and I pull, let's say, Ten of Wands, and if you're looking at the visuals, you can get a long struggled for success. Sometimes I get more Saturn in Sagittarius, which is making life look hard. And sometimes it's more about the number 10, which is, you know, ruled by Wheel of Fortune numerologically and representing evolution and transcendental completion. So it's really, the more layers you have, the more facets you have, it's just the more that you have to work with. And then you can intuitively pull from all of that base that you have. I'm a big advocate of adding your own, you know, facets to that addition, in addition to the traditional historical ones, you know, what really speaks to you as well. Angie Benicki, who is an incredible LA-based tarot rock star, incorporates playlists of music into her tarot readings. I use a lot of pop culture references, obviously. Like, my whole deck is based on these, you know, iconic pop culture women. Like, when I see Wheel of Fortune, the first thing I think is Madonna, ultimate queen of reinvention and evolution. So my advice is soak up all the knowledge and history you can, put your own unique spin on it, and then use your intuition to pull from all of that base. But I mean, not to knock Enrique, like, awesome documentary, and he's obviously doing his thing. So, but that's my take on that question. Number two, from Alex in Connecticut, who asked me, what is the weirdest place you've ever done a reading? Oh my God, that's amazing. And many places. In the bathtub at the Windsor Arms in Toronto, in many, many restaurants and bars all over North America and Amsterdam. I don't know about the weirdest. I don't know that this is necessarily the weirdest place, but I would say the strangest situation was when one of my best friends FaceTimed me for an emergency reading, and I was eating dinner at the Smith and Nomad with my little Pomeranian Lola, and it's always crowded there. It was last winter, so it was freezing cold. Lola naturally was in her little faux fur coat and pillbox hat, and I just started pulling cards out of my purse for my friend because she was having this freak out, and I had Lola seated in my purse in the chair next to me, and I realized that not one, but three customers began filming and or taking photos with their phones of what must have looked like a crazy lady reading tarot for a very elegantly dressed Pomeranian. Didn't stop me though, because if you know me, I truly don't care what other people think, and you know, nor does Lola for that matter. And I just wanted to get the cards read for one of my besties. But it was pretty funny because I must have looked like an insane person. But fortunately, the reading was helpful and it all worked out. So that is one of the strangest, I guess, places or occurrences I've had reading tarot. Okay, the next question comes from Leela in Seattle. I struggle with learning by rote or memorization or just from reading meanings out of books. Do you have any recommendations for someone who's just starting out and struggling with traditional study methods? Hey, Leela, I actually do, and I'm doing a whole podcast with the tarot lady, Teresa Reed, on her show Tarot Bites at the end of this month, exactly about this topic. So I don't want to give too much away, but I will answer your question with some helpful little tips and tricks that helped me when I was learning. So if you're more of an auditory or visual learner, there are some great YouTube videos that are helpful. I always recommend Teresa Reed's, the podcast that I'm going to be speaking on, Teresa Reed's Tarot Coloring Book, because it's an interactive, immersive way to learn about each card. This was basically the same exercise I did when I was designing and creating my own deck, but it's put together in a perfectly packaged book and, you know, has little prompts and kind of things to follow along with. So I think she created just like a freaking amazing tool to learn with. And I often refer this book to friends that are learning. I'll link to that and some of the videos that I recommend in the notes section of this podcast. But if you're learning and you have other friends that are also trying to learn or at least mildly interested in tarot, there are some games that you can play as well. There's actually an existing board game called The Tarot Game by Jude Alexander that's available on Amazon for like $30 or $40. You can just Google Tarot Game Jude Alexander and it'll come up. I also created a lot of my own games to learn when I was younger, and I still play them with friends that I'm teaching that are learning the cards. You can use traditional card games like War, and then you just kind of have to like improvise and argue which card would win, right? So obviously major arcanas would always beat the minors, but when you have kind of like let's say you have two pages. You have a page of like pentacles, page of swords. This is going to be a tough one, right? In my deck, page of swords is Gal Gadot as Wonder Woman, and page of pentacles is Reese Witherspoon as Elle Woods in Legally Blonde. So both of these are really strong cards, right? And there isn't necessarily a right answer here. I would probably say Page of Swords because, and I would justify my answer by swords are fast moving, they're efficient, and they cut through the BS, right? The Page of Pentacles is a strong card too, though. She's a badass manifester. So it's really kind of, the point of this game, this is not for very cut and dry black and white people. This is more of like about discussing and analyzing. It's really just, you know, talking through the information than it is about winning with a clear right or wrong answer. There's also kind of some of the fun tween games, like if you guys remember Marry, Do or Die. So this is kind of you and a tarot nerd friend pick challenges. Like you could do Would You Rather as well. Would you rather marry the Five of Cups or the Five of Swords? And now both of these cards are challenging cards, right? So again, this is very subjective. It's personal, but it gets you talking and thinking and analyzing the nature of the cards. On this challenge, Five of Cups versus Five of Swords, I would probably say I would marry Five of Swords because this person might be a little bit shady. They're probably in the Slytherin house at Hogwarts, but you know that I am too. And I would venture to bet that this person keeps life pretty interesting. You know, Five of Cups to me is kind of a negative mofo who's focusing on lack, complaining about what they don't have, what other people think, and that's just not my jam. But that's me personally. So that's my answer to that question. But you know, like I said, everyone's is going to be somewhat subjective, but it's an interesting way to think about the cards on an individual basis. Same rules apply to the junior high fave, Marry, Do or Die. I played this one with the Wonderlust girls when they were on the podcast, and I love their answer. So I gave them, I think, the Devil card, the Death card, and the Hermit. They said they would have a fling with the Hermit because they enjoy introspection but couldn't be like in that mode all the time. They would kill the Devil because she's trouble, yo, and that's true. And they would marry Death, of course they would, because they like constant change and transformation. So those are just a couple examples, and I'm sure you can totally make up some of your own crazy creative games. But for people that, yeah, like to learn in a more interactive way, that's some of the ways that I learned when I was younger and help some of my friends and students that are picking it up. So hope that helps. Okay, number four. Dennis in Brooklyn asked me, "Hey Cardsy, I know you've cast yourself as King of Wands and always say Wheel of Fortune is your favorite card. If you can embody the characteristics of any card, would it be one of those two or a different card altogether?" Okay. Oh, that's good. You know, I really feel like King of Wands accurately describes both my strengths of fire energy, ambition, leadership, ability to quickly manifest, as well as my weaknesses of impulsiveness, being an extremist, being impatient. But if I could level up, if I could choose any card, like I just feel like I am King of Wands, right? But if I could be like, this is who I want to be, I would say the Magician. I love that this card is the ultimate creator, and also that the Magician's creations really change the way people view the world. Numerologically, both Lady Gaga, who is the magician in Badass Bitches Tarot, and Steve Jobs are the number one, and that is the number of the magician. And when you think about it, both of them have really changed the way we experience the world. Gaga disrupted the pop music scene and really redefined what a pop star looks like and acts like, and her music includes these iconic anthems about inclusiveness and acceptance. And, you know, on the other hand, Steve Jobs brought forth technology that, when it's used for good, I should say, has really allowed us to connect to one another and share information in ways that we never knew were possible. So I think that they're incredible innovators, you know? So I would say magician would be my level up card if I could choose one. Okay, the next question comes from Anne in Los Angeles. When you talk about tarot cards having an astrological ruling, what does that actually mean, and how are astrology and tarot tied together? That's a good question, and a lot of people do ask me that. So my study and understanding come from the Order of the Golden Dawn's work around tarot and their assignment of the astrological ruling for each card. This is the most popularly used and discussed origin of astrology and tarot. Many members of the Golden Dawn eventually broke off and kind of did their own thing. Aleister Crowley, he's kind of the dark wizard that's known as like 666, the Beast. He's kind of, you know, dark magic. He created Thoth Tarot, and then Arthur Waite and Pamela Coleman Smith, of course, created Smith Rider Waite. So, but both of them took the astrological rulings of the Golden Dawn into place in their different, you know, sets of tarot cards that they developed. So the rulings kind of work in that each major arcana card is ruled by a planet or an astrological sign constellation. The signs are constellations, right? So for example, we're in Aquarius right now, and Aquarius rules the star card. And the star card reminds us of divine timing, the importance of intuition, and those are all kind of Aquarian's greatest strengths. So some of the cards are ruled by just one planet, just one sign or constellation. So the star is just Aquarius, right? The second tier, the court cards, are ruled by elements. So the court cards are page, knight, king, queen, right? So for example, King of Wands, my card, is fire, because kings are fire, wands are fire. So that card is, the court cards are purely elemental. This is a fire card. And the third tier are the minor arcana, and they're the ones that are ruled by a planet in a sign or constellation, right? So Eight of Wands, which is one of a lot of people's favorite cards, aka the RuPaul card in my deck, is ruled by Mercury and Sagittarius. So when Mercury moves into the constellation of Sagittarius, it's really, Mercury's about communication. Sagittarius is about expansion, opportunities, getting shit done. So these two combined create fast luck and positive opportunities coming at you swiftly, which is very Eight of Wands. I hope that that's helpful. That was a really quick overview. You can definitely do a much deeper dive into this. I find Sasha Graham's, Llewellyn's complete book of the Rider Waite Smith Tarot extremely useful as a guidebook to all areas of tarot. I mean, everything from Kabbalah to astrology to the archetypes and imagery. Which brings me to the last question. Pinky from Brooklyn asked, I love the way that you explain both tarot and astrology in a very relatable way. What books do you recommend as the best guidebooks or introductions to these modalities? Thank you so much. That is definitely my goal with this podcast. And as I always say, I'm a huge nerd, and I've read everything from WTF is Tarot to the OG Tarot of the Bohemians, and like literally, you know, most books in between. So there are so many amazing resources that are good for different areas of focus and different levels of tarot practice. But if I had to give like my top three staples, I would say number one, as previously mentioned, Llewellyn's complete book of Rider Waite Smith Tarot by the amazing Sasha Graham. I'm like seriously in love with her. She's also known as the Tarot Diva. And this is an awesome textbook of tarot. It basically covers every angle. And I often use this to refer back to. It's massive. It is like a college textbook, but it has everything covered. It's beautifully written. I love her style of writing. It's very well organized. So it's very easy to follow, reference, you know, kind of dog ear and go back to like, okay, here's the astrological rulings. Here's the 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet and how they relate to, you know, the 22 major arcana. It's beautifully laid out, and I recommend this to everybody. The second book, I would say, Tarot Constellations by Mary Kate Greer. This one is a game changer. Mary takes us through the entire system of numerology as it's related to tarot and how our birth date leads to our soul, personality, and shadow cards. For me, and I know so many other readers, this really changed the way I looked at tarot, and I read tarot numerology for several clients, and they're always 100% astonished by the accuracy of the constellation system. Even if people aren't familiar, and I ask, you know, are you interested and having your tarot numerology done, they might be like, ah, maybe. And many of them find that one of the most accurate parts of the reading. So I really think that this is an important addition to any reader's practice. And so it's a good way to kind of group the cards into those major constellations and have a better understanding. And then the last book, I would say Tarot of the Bohemians. It's incredibly fascinating. It's definitely more for an advanced practitioner, but it mostly focuses on Kabbalistic tarot. It was published back in 1910 with a preface by Arthur Waite himself. It's known as the most ancient book on tarot. I mean, that's probably not true because tarot existed in like the 1400s, but I think it's the most ancient book still around. So people say it's the most ancient book on tarot. A friend got me a gorgeous first edition copy and it was the most beautiful gift. I read it and I love it so much. That being said, it is dense material and it was challenging for me to understand some aspects of it. I felt like that scene in Beetlejuice where they were discussing the handbook for the recently deceased and how it reads like stereo instructions. Like, you have to be legit in the tarot world for this to fully make sense, but it's definitely a classic and it's like a definite for any collector. So I love this book and I would put that in my top three. So yeah, those are my top picks that I would, you know, grab in a fire along with Lola, or if I had to be stuck on a desert island, I would choose those three. So I hope that's helpful. So yeah, those are the main questions I got this week. Keep them coming. I do, even if you know, write them to me and it's not the next episode coming up as Ask Cards EB, I do compile them and save them. So if you have anything that's been on your mind, I will answer it for you one-on-one right away. And then I'll save your question, to add to our list. So keep them coming, guys. And I'm glad that you find this segment helpful. So before we head out, let me give you the month's recap. So for February, we have Six of Pentacles, bringing us some much needed balance into play, especially after like the eclipses, a really hectic January. We also have Six of Swords, and that's reminding us that it's okay to ask for help when we need it. And sometimes it takes a journey, whether physical or mental, to clear out that baggage we need to release and make room for the good opportunities to come in. And we have our card of the week, which is Four of Swords. That's the Pema Chodron meditation, really rest and reset. So kind of give yourself a break, give yourself that downtime with the full moon coming in on the 19th. Give yourself that time to really like rest and see what is it that I need to either, you know, finish up in the month? How do I really want to proceed forward? So thank you guys so much. Don't forget to check out my Instagram live segment tonight, Sundays at 8 p.m. Eastern. I do a live overview of the upcoming week and a chance to ask your own questions for a free mini live reading. I try to get through as many as I can in the half hour. I don't always get to them all, but if you want to send through your question in advance through badassbitchestarot.com or Instagram message me at cardsyb, I will make sure I get to you because I know sometimes people can't watch it live. You're in another time zone. So if you're really, really eager to get your question read, please send it through in advance. In terms of events, I had a fantastic time at Journal for Galentine's Day and the Open Center, both of which I have future dates that I will be back and I'll share those with you as soon as I have them confirmed. And I'm also going to be a part of an incredible spring retreat. So if you're looking for something coming up this spring, I'm a featured reader at Rise Gathering May 31st through June 2nd, and you can get $100 off if you book with the code CARDZ2019 at risegatherings.com. Also, follow CardsyB on Instagram and badassbitchestarot.com because I always add any new events and there's usually a lot added throughout the week. So yeah, you can keep an eye on both my website and my Instagram for those. And as always, if you have a sec, please rate and review this podcast. It helps more people to view and find it if you do. And thank you so much, guys. Have an incredible week. Thanks so much for listening. And as always, stay magical AF.